right, I pressed the button. Oh, there. There we go. We're doing better than I thought we'd do. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm doing all right. So just a quick question. Who has the honesty to say that maybe they're not doing great this morning? Anybody? Few people. Few hands. Cool. Good. I appreciate that honesty. You know, first of all, let me welcome live stream that's out there today. Whoever's joining us today, we just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. Once again, just to get a brief idea of who I am and why I am up here, my name is Wes, and I am the director of the CR ministry here at the church. CR stands for Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is it's a 12-step program that deals with literally any hurt, habit, or hang-up that you might be dealing with in life. My wife, Jessica, that was just up here and leading worship this morning, quick round of applause for her and the band. Great job, worship team. She's also the Celebrate Recovery worship team leader. My kids are out there. I see, there's my oldest. She thought she could hide. My oldest, Grace, is over there on the side. She's a member of Elevate, and she helps Miss Yvonne back in both with the Sunday Children's Ministry, and she also helps out on Tuesday nights for the Celebrate Recovery youth ministry. And my youngest is over there in a little pink sweater and shyly waving. She's my 12-year-old, and her name's Alora, and she brought a whole row of friends with her this morning. So, and even she, at 12 years old, is a part of our Celebrate Recovery team. She comes faithfully every week and sets up our information table. She will get stuff out of our closets and stuff. She'll set stuff up for us. I mean, she just works nonstop while she's there. And then she also gets to enjoy the children's program. And pretty soon she's going to be in Elevate as well. So really, our family has just been a Celebrate Recovery for our entire time here at BMCC. We've been coming to the church for about 10 years now. And when we came, my wife is from the Cincinnati area. I am originally from the snowiest place on earth, Erie, Pennsylvania, where, you know, around here we get 12 inches of snow and it's warnings and everybody's, you know, going crazy. Everybody's getting, you know, French toast makings. You know, you have to go to the store and get the milk, eggs, and bread and all that stuff. I don't know why. In Erie, that's just called Thursday. You know, nothing special. When we were in Cincinnati, I was an associate pastor at a church. Jessica was our worship leader. We had gone through a kind of a difficult breakup at the church. This is weird to explain. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, for those of you that have grown up in the church, you've probably heard of, like, people leaving through a church split. Well, we kind of got hurt through a church merger. It was two different churches came together, and when that happens, when you get a group of, you know, two churches put together, well, all of a sudden you have some extra resources. And a lot of times, some of those extra resources weren't part of the plan. And that's where Jessica and I found ourselves. Not part of the plan. But that's okay. Because God had a different plan. You know, we ended up here. And that's been great. I really think the first message that we heard here was given by David Doc Huber. Some of you guys probably remember him. And Doc was giving a message that day about the launch of Celebrate Recovery. And Jessica and myself, we were sitting probably over there, because that's usually where we always sit. Sorry, Cliff, we don't really change rows. We should. Bad us. But, you know, we were probably sitting over there, and I can remember Doc talking and kind of being up here on a stool like I am, and he was talking about Celebrate Recovery, and Jessica and I looked at ourselves, and we were like, you know, I really think that we found our place. You know, we had been greeted lovingly. We had, you know, from our very first steps in the door, and we're like, wow, CR, that sounds really interesting. We had heard little pieces about Celebrate Recovery before. We had been, you know, Celebrate Recovery is national. It's just not here. It's literally all over the world, actually. And so we were intrigued by that. And, you know, as I said, God moved us for a reason. You know, when that church merger happened and we were no longer part of the plans, we had to go another direction, which was like 600 miles east on I-80. We ended up here. And I have to tell you, when we got here, we were pretty banged up. You know, it was almost to the point where we were, you know, spiritually dead. You know, as just on a side note, if you have been here at the church longer than like, you know, a half hour, you have probably noticed our family name pop up on the church Facebook for, you know, Wesley Neal's going in for another surgery. It's like almost like cyclical, it's just like a revolving door. It's like, I have Alicia post it once a week just to keep everybody on their toes. But you know, seriously, if I were a car, I think I'd have, you know, qualified for a lemon law like at least, you know, 20, 30 times over. And sometimes, you know, I get a little upset at those doctors. Do you have any idea how many kids that I have successfully put through college and postgraduate school? You would think I would at least get one Christmas card from them. Nope. Not saying that I'm upset about it. Maybe a little. You know, maybe a little. But that's okay. You know, physically, at the time, I was almost died, you know, dead bones as well. Just really dry. My spirit was dry. My body was, you know, felt like it was breaking down all the time. And really by about 2018, you know, I was so physically dependent on painkillers. I was, you know, just physically craving. I mean, I was addicted to those at that time. It wasn't that I was out trying to, that I'm one of those people that went out and I was just, hey, this is just something I want to do. It started out from a physical thing, but over time, it really did end up in a story of disobedience about me. I was at the point where I wasn't listening to, you know, what was on the front of the prescription, you know, as to how many times I would take something or whatever. I had just gotten to the point where things had gotten pretty bad. And I say all that in order for us to get to the book of Ezekiel. Now, first things first, some of you guys might have noticed the title, Ezekiel 37, and then beauty for ashes. And for some of you, you Bible scholars, you may know those two things don't line up. Ezekiel 37 is not the scripture for beauty for ashes. That's Isaiah 61, but we'll get there. Trust me. This is going to be one of those kind of, we're taking a scenic drive this morning. We're going to get there. Everybody good? All right. So let's talk a little bit about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet, and when God called him, first started to call him into saying that he was going to use him in his life, he had just been taken from Israel. He was actually going to, in line to go into ministry himself. He was at the age of 30 that he would start his training in the temple, but at the age of 28, just 2 years shy of beginning his instruction, there was a little scuffle, and Israelites were already under being captured by Babylon, and some of them had been relocated. There had been another little scuffle, and it really angered the king of Babylon, and he decided, you know what? All right, well, I'm going to take a few thousand more of you guys, wise guys that want to start problems around here, and we're going to take you to Babylon as well. And Ezekiel got called in that. But what Ezekiel began to notice, whether he was in Israel or when he had met some of his countrymen in Babylon, was that in a very short amount of time, the faith, the belief that God would do something for the Israelites, for the Israelite nation, had died. Their total captivity in Babylon lasted 70 years. And, you know, 70 years is one lifetime for us now. You know, it's one lifetime. It doesn't take long for faith to dry up. Even among a nation like Israel, you know, Israel had seen God move many times. You know, God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, parted the Red Sea. You know, he had done some serious work in the Israelites' life. And you kind of think, you know, they would have a little bit more fortitude to say, yeah, you know, it's okay. We're in a low spot right now, but God's going to work. Nope. So, as you can see up there, I have a question for you. Do you have any dry bones right now? You have any dry bones that you might be carrying around? And I really want us to stop and think about this. Maybe you're carrying around dead bones of a relationship of some kind that may be of soured. You know, it could be something like a marriage that had gone bad. It could be, you know, fight with a brother or sister, mom, dad, something like that. Do you have a child that, you know, for, you know, their entire life, you had brought them up to love the Lord, and all of a sudden you look at them and you see them turning and walking away? You know, do you have a medical condition? You know, something that's new that you just found out, or maybe something that's old that you just found out about, and the doctors are telling you, yeah, I really don't know what we can do about it. You know, for a lot of us, there, you know, we think that we're good. we think, you know, I've got really nothing. But I would pretty much bet that if we just stop and we just give our hearts some time, we have dry bones in our life as well. Something that we really think, you know, God, I've seen you work, but I'm not really sure you can work in this particular thing. Some of you might be sitting here this morning and you're like, your dry bones might be, you're not even sure about this God guy, let alone about a Savior named Jesus that is also God as well. Maybe you're unsure of where you're at with your belief. You don't really know what's going on. That might be you this morning. So we're going to talk about those things. As Ezekiel is called and God has given him a vision. God's given him this vision of this valley. And in this valley, there's just multitudes of what at one time were people, and now it's just skeletons everywhere. Not even like put together skeletons, like they even have like a little bit of stuff holding them together. These are really just bones, dried up. Anybody a hunter? Besides myself, anybody come across a coyote kill or a bear kill in the woods that's been there for a while and it's just bones there? They're scattered all over the place. You know, it was kind of like that. And those dried bones are representative of where Israel is at in that moment in time. They have no more faith left as a country. And so we're going to take a look at what God says to Ezekiel. Ezekiel gets posed a question by God. And the question is up there. It's a God asked Ezekiel, he said to him, "Do you believe that these dry bones can live again?" Well, I guess I am in the middle of a vision and I'm talking to God. God, let's pursue this a little bit further, maybe. Why don't we continue to talk about this? We're going to look at our scripture right here. And this is Ezekiel 37, and we're first going to look at verses 1 through 3. And they're broken up, they're available for you up on the screen. And if you would, read them together with me. So this is Ezekiel 37, 1. And it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He had me pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" One more time, I'm going to ask you to just take just one more second. Find your dry bones that's in your life. Whatever it is, I want you to go to that place right now in your heart. There's no more walls to protect you. We are at a moment of full honesty in our lives. What's your dry bones? You know, when Ezekiel got asked this question, I believe that that this is a question that many of us have towards God in our situation. You know, think about the thing that you're meditating on. And God, instead, he poses the question on to Ezekiel. And I really think that he wants to have Ezekiel realize in this situation that there was going to be absolutely nothing that he could do in this moment to change the state of these dry bones. And instead, we have to come to that moment where it says, well, God, you can work in this situation. Ezekiel, he comes and his answer to God was, Lord God, you yourself know. Posing that question right back. Well, God, I know that I, in this situation, this whole valley of bones, I got a bunch of nothing. There is nothing that I'm going to do that can make these dry bones live again. And so if anything is going to get done, it's going to get done by your power. And in Celebrate Recovery, this is one of the very first things that we learn in the lessons that we discuss. We have to come out of denial. You know, as somebody who is dealing with any hurt, hang up, or habit, if we have been dealing for it for a very long time and we have not seen any progress, that's usually a big indicator that it's not us that's going to fix the problem. And so we have to step out of denial and say, okay, God, you have to work. And so what I've done here is I've got some of our recovery principles that we in recovery, it's Celebrate Recovery, that we live by. I've got them listed here. The first one is R, realize that I'm not God. E stands for earnestly believe that God exists. C, consciously choose to commit my life to Christ. O, openly examine myself and my faults and confess them. V, voluntarily submit to changes. E, evaluate my relationships and offer forgiveness and make amends for where I've messed up. R is reserve daily time for a real relationship with God. And then Y is yield myself to be used for him to share my testimony. So let's take a look at how this works. So the first thing that we're going to look at is R, E, and C. And R, E, and C in recovery is, this is our starting place. If you look at it, it says, realize I'm not God. I have to believe that there is a God and that he exists and that I'm going to choose to commit my life to and my will to Christ. And why? Because this thing, these dry bones that I'm working on, or that I was working on, I finally realized I'm not the one that needs to be doing the work. This is the starting place for all of us at CR. And I really think this is where Ezekiel was in this process. Once again, he mentions this question, can these bones live? And if they can, God, it's going to be because of you. Ezekiel says, Lord God, you yourself know. And I can really see the heart of Ezekiel in this. Once again, God, these are our old dry bones. They're not even connected. It's just a big pile of them. So Lord, if anything's going to happen, you're going to have to get on this and get this stuff done. And once again, because for me, I got nothing. I've tried. And then we look, and immediately God says something to Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel. This is going to be Ezekiel 37, 4 through 8. If you would, read it with me. Verse 4, he says, "Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I am going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you so that you may come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord." And then he says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a loud noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I..." Whoops. I have to remember, I'm not out there, and I have to be the one doing the clicking. All right, verse 8. "Behold, the tendons were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." In other words, the bones now, they had become attached. They had a formation. There was stuff that was happening. But still, they had no breath. Again, thinking about this area of dry bones that you have. Have you been in the place where you did start to work on this thing that's on your heart and you kind of started to see a little movement? You know, it's like you get to a point and if you're, let's say you're in recovery for addiction and you're like, "Oh, wow, you know, I was managed to stay clean for 30 days, but then I relapsed." Or let's say you have a situation going on with a sibling or whatever, and, "Oh, okay, you know, hey, we started to talk again. But then it was Thanksgiving, and somebody started to argue over the stuffing. And then it all just fell right back apart." Have you guys been in situations like this? I kind of feel that this is where we are right here. You know, the bones were attached. They were still dead. They had no breath. You know, progress was being made, but it kind of fizzled out and stopped. Israel was here as a people. You know, they knew that God could move in their situation. And, you know, I think that for a period of time, maybe they thought, you know, maybe it was 20 years. Maybe it was 30 years that they kept thinking, you know, we're here, but God's going to do something. And then the period of time, it just kept going, and they saw nothing. And they saw nothing. You know, God, I think, right here has a little bit of rebuke for Israel. Once again, they've seen him work. They should know better. But even God's chosen people, who had seen them deliver again and again for them, you know, again, seen them come out of Egypt, seen them part the Red Sea, they had seen his power. But again, here they were, God's talking about them, this pile of dry bones, no faith. Their feeling is, it's hopeless. So, I know I've been there where I felt something was hopeless. And in recovery, a lot of times people think that recovery is only about dealing with a hurt. That, you know, you're there to recover from a hurt. But not only is it so much about learning to process and deal with a hurt, recovery is also about growth. You know, there are times when you're going to want a situation to be resolved, and God is going to, for in that moment, he's going to say no. And we have to be okay with that. We have to, you know, get to the point where we have to look and say, maybe if God hasn't moved, maybe something is about to be taught. Maybe there's something for me to learn about, to something that's going to happen inside of me. In Celebrate Recovery, in our recovery principles, we have a time where we deal with issues like this. In those recovery principles that I put up, this is the O, the V, and the E. So O is openly examine and confess our faults. Principle 5V is voluntarily submit to the changes that God wants to make in us to remove our character defects. And principle 6 is E, evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for the harm that I have caused. And for a lot of us in recovery, this is at the point where we go, wait, what? Wait a minute. This is a whole lot of stuff that really hurts. You know, I didn't sign up for all of this. Now, I thought I was going to come and say some 12 steps and drink some coffee and go home. Well, you know, I do have to say, these steps, they do line up to be very biblical. If you look at principle 4, openly examine and confess our faults, Matthew 5:8 says, happy are the pure in heart. Oh, voluntarily submit to the changes that God wants to make in us and to remove our character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires, which is Matthew 5:6. Okay. And then the next one is E, evaluate all my relationships and offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and to make amends for the harm that I have caused. Matthew 5:7 and Matthew 5:9, happy are the merciful and happy are the peacemakers. So now not only do we, you know, have these principles, but we also see that Jesus is commanding us to do these things. This comes right from the Beatitudes. That's one thing that I love about Celebrate Recovery, is that it doesn't hide its beginnings. It doesn't hide its foundation. Its foundation is based completely on the Bible. So in that, this time of meditation about what we're thinking about, you know, we do come to those moments and we're thinking about, wait a minute, this principle 4, 5, 6, this, wait a minute, that sounds pretty not fun. I have to be very, very honest. There's a lot of people that come to those principles and they're like, yeah, God, you remember that beginning question and, you know, we were talking about it, sounds hopeless. Yeah, this part right here sounds hopeless too. This is not a fun thing to go through. But this is where, for a lot of people I've talked to around the church or out in the community, and they're like, well, let me ask you something. Does CR really work? Does it make a change? Wow, and I didn't even ask for that. That's great. Keep it up, guys. Can recovery help me? But wait, isn't Celebrate Recovery, isn't that just for addictions? Oh, it's not? So it could help me? Let me ask you guys again. Remember those things that I asked you to place on your heart? Are any of those things a hurt? Are any of those things a habit? Well, what do you mean by a habit? Do you get angry constantly? Whether it's at your kids or your wife or other people out in the community? Anybody got any road rage? Has anybody been across 443 lately? Probably going to have to work on that. So again, I ask the congregation, do you have any dry bones? And all I can tell you is that if you are willing to follow God's lead at this moment and to work on these things, this is where the miracle happens. It is that moment where we are completely willing to surrender all of our pride and know that this has to be God that is going to be the one that is going to work on this situation. Nobody else, nothing else, can get the glory for what God is about to do in your life at this moment. Isn't God still a God of miracles? Do you believe that? Is God still a God of miracles? Is God still a God that changes outcomes? Okay. Isn't this still the very God who, when for all of eternity, at this moment where Ezekiel is talking, there was no hope for life eternal? We were in separation from God. Isn't this the same God who, from the time that Adam and Eve first bit that apple, that looked at us and said, I know what the outcome is here, but I'm going to change it? If he is still that God, he can still work in your dry bones. Okay. So let's take a look at Ezekiel 37, 9 through 10. I love this part. This is so cool. Please catch this. This is where we're talking about, can change happen? Let's read this. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Stop right there. What he's talking about is the breath of God, the same breath that goes out, whether it was the breath, this is the breath that when we were formed from dust in Genesis, this is the breath that brought life. God is telling Ezekiel to prophesy to that breath. Let's continue. Well, let's go back and let's reread that now that we know that we're talking about. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, the Lord God says this, come from the four winds, breath, and whoop, thank you. Again, I'm used to being out there with you guys. And breathe on these slain, so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Church, that's goosebump stuff right there. Can you imagine being Ezekiel in that moment and God tells you, hey, prophesy to the breath that ignited life? Ezekiel, come to me because I'm telling you to use what I have given you. I am giving you this tool. I am telling you that right now, this breath, it can be used by you. And this is the moment that can change those dry bones into living beings again. Okay? Our God is a way maker. Do you believe that, church? Okay. This is why God does it this way. It's really simple. It's so that he gets the glory. It's not because he needs an ego boost. You know, God's God. He doesn't need an attaboy. What God wants is for us to know that he is God, that he is the one that worked in this situation, and he wants us to go out and tell other people that are still dragging their dry bones around where they can find help, where help truly lies. He wants us to be able to tell his story. He wants us to know that his love for Israel at that time, his Israel that he set apart, that he had worked on for so many years, even in their minds when they think God's left us, this situation is hopeless, God still loved them. God was about to work. They were just short of seeing God move in their situation. They didn't know. They had nobody to prophesy to them until Ezekiel came along. All the other prophets came along and were talking about, and I'm not talking biblical prophets, these are other prophets that were just kind of out doing their own thing, saying, ah, yeah, you know, we'll just live here in peace. We'll learn to kind of get used to this. We'll be fine. We'll live with it. When I was in the deepest part of my addiction, that was kind of something that I talked to myself about. I was like, you know, I'll learn to live with this, but I couldn't. See, my life was falling apart. Jessica had talks with me about, you know, maybe we need to separate or divorce. I'll tell you what, we saw a video this morning about teenagers committing suicide. I was almost there. For most of my days, most of my prayers was for God to just, please, let me die. Let this be over with. But that's not the way God loves us. God loves us. He will continue to run after us. And he will talk to us through different areas, whether it's a prophet or a friend, a pastor, someone at Celebrate Recovery, and say, God loves you. He has the power to work. We have to surrender. He's desirous for us to be in a relationship with him. He loves us. He wants to work in our situation. He wanted to work in Israel, those dry bones. He wants to work in your dry bones too. Again, don't give up right before that time of the miracle is going to happen. Be willing to look at ourselves and say, maybe God, remember I said, maybe God might say no. And why? Because maybe God's got something that we need to work on in that time. Maybe God just needs us to get to the point where we're willing to say, God, if something's going to happen to these dry bones, it's going to be because you're going to do it. In recovery, this is the final concept that we're taught. And this goes along right here with our R and Y. This is reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer to know God and His will for me. And then Y is yield myself to God to bring this good news to others. Once we have seen and witnessed the miracles of dead bones alive again, it is now our turn to go out and to prophesy to our dead bones and to go out and to prophesy to our Israel. This is our turn to go out and prophesy to our friends and our family, to our co-workers, to those who ask us for advice. Why does He do it this way? Plain and simply, God loves us, and He wants us to know, one, He's going to be the one to do it. He loves us, and that He wants us to go out and to tell others. Let's take a look. Oh, we're not going to take a look. I'm going to read this. I just figured we're probably getting short on time. So let me recite verses 24 through 28 in Ezekiel to you. And it says, "And my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd." He's talking about Israel. The bones are now alive. This is a time of being restored. "My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and follow them." Verse 25, "And they will live on the land that I gave them, that I gave to my servant Jacob, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it also, and their sons' sons forever. And my servant David will be their leader forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place will be among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Verse 28, "And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sacrifices Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forever." Now, a little bit of history. David, by this time where Ezekiel lived, David is already gone. David's already been buried. The David that right now is being foreshadowed is going to be Jesus Christ when He comes into the world. When He comes and He dies on the cross for us. Listen to that language again. "I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them." That sounds an awful lot like the New Testament covenant, doesn't it? The one we hear about with Jesus. I will place them. I will multiply them. And set my sanctuary in their midst. And this time in the Old Testament, the sanctuary was the temple. You want to know who wasn't allowed to be in the Holy of Holies with where God's presence lived? Us. But Jesus came. And when He had His sacrifice on the cross, when He died on the cross, He tore the veil and He allowed us to be, for Him to walk in the midst with us, in our heart, the Holy Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He comes into our hearts and He dwells with us forever and ever. Listen to the language of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It says, "And you were dead in your offenses and sins." Once again, dead, dry bones. Verse 2 says, "In which you previously walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." You were living your life for sin, we were living our lives for sin. We're in the middle of our dry bones. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, not what you've done, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him.